We're doing our special, our budget hearing first. Today, Tuesday, May 7th at 5:15, this is a notice of the budget hearing of the governing board of the Norfolk Elementary School. Item 1A, call to order and pledge allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item B, adoption of the agenda. I'd like to move to adopt the agenda for the budget hearing of May 7th.
I'll second it.
Mr. Immel seconds. Ayes?
Aye.
Aye. Item 2, legal financial. Fiscal year 2018-19 revision number 2 of the budget hearing. Ms. Horton?
Yes. Yes, this is a legal notice that we have to have a budget hearing before we do the adoption and approval of the budget hearing. This budget hearing allows us to move some money within the lot budget lines that you see on page 2 and on the screen here. It also increased the M&O budget by $178,000. That is due to the increase in enrollment. Because this was based, originally was based back in July on 297. So now we're basing this on 312 students. So it's gone up on the M&O budget by $178,000. Okay, the bottom line on the right hand side on your sheets in front of you is $3 million. 070226, that is the current budget. Take out $1,100,000 of that is tuition for Bisbee.
Now, tell me what shows that on the screen, if you don't mind, please.
You're right over here. Very bottom where your right thumb is should be on that right.
The page.
The next to the last column on page 1, Ms. Walker.
30.
Right there.
Okay. Gotcha.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. So that's what's increased in that. That will compensate for some of the negatives you were seeing on the budget reports that I've been presenting every month to you. Okay. Because it was negative, but that was due to a lot of encumbrance. And now we're coming to the end of the year where I'm starting to release some of that stuff. So there will not be any negative over expenditure on this year's budget. Okay, we have some questions, Jeff?
No.
Okay, now the next piece that did change was on page 4, the capital piece. Okay, this one changed. This line here, which is the total for this year's budget of 226,893. We only needed about $225,000 in capital this year for the expenditures that we've already prepared for this year. And so we're getting down to the wire with capital items, that everything has been expended, those kind of things. We should have still a little leftover for carryover in capital for next year. I can't estimate right now how much, but you know, it's not going to be $100,000, but it will be a little bit to carry over to start us. Other than that, I can't say too much about this, other than I budgeted a little bit over what we've been expending, so we have a cushion in there. Any questions on the capital page?
Not this time.
Okay.
Yes?
No.
Okay.
See what else has me see in these numbers here? Those numbers were not jiving on the screen. These are jiving, but these weren't. We had over here, she had 44, 45. You know what I mean? So it was kind of strange, was that this on this thing wasn't there. These numbers were there, but these weren't. So. So Donna, so we're going to be, we're not going to be necessarily passing this tonight. We're going to wait the typical 10 to 12 days in order to do this.
You know, not in the budget hearing, you don't have to do that.
Right.
This has to be, since this is a revision, this has to be to the state by May 15th.
Okay, that's our deadline.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So they will vote on it.
Yes, so you will need to vote on to it.
Ms. Walker, if I may, this item is part of our regular board meeting agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we get to that point, you would be essentially voting on this. The reason being is we're not expecting to have another, unless you call for it or the board calls for it, we're not expecting you to have another meeting prior to May 15th.
See, that's what I'm saying, that normally we wouldn't do it tonight. We would wait 10 to 12 days in order to do that. And so...
It's usually just have to be publicized 10 to 12 days in advance, not the hearing, because I've looked at the...
And are you putting it in the paper? Like?
No, the budget revision does not have to be publicized.
Mm-hmm.
I've looked that up beforehand, just in case, so...
Now, if you wanted to take some time, it's perfectly okay, but we would just need to have that meeting prior to May 15th, which I believe is next Wednesday?
Wednesday, yes.
Okay.
So if it's a pleasure of a board and you want to table this, but then we would, the administration would then request for you to have a board meeting with the purposes of voting for this.
Okay.
Because then we need to submit it to the state.
Right. Well, why don't we, normally that's what we do. We would make 10 to 12 days and then we would go ahead and do it. But we'll just see how it goes and we get into our regular meeting.
Sure.
And go from there and see how you guys feel about that. So. Any questions?
Well, my question on the capital one.
Yes, ma'am.
Why is, what's the difference where it says negative 63.3%?
What line are you on, Ms. Romero?
Line 2.
Line 2?
Yes.
Because if you look in the under the totals column.
Yes.
Where it says 228,215 and the budget year, which is this year, is 83,000. That's where the negative 63,000 comes in. Last year in 18, they had put 228,000 in that line. Whether they actually expended it, I can't swear, I can't, you know, tell you right this minute.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the difference between the two of them. What is in this line is instructional aids, and we only spend about the $80,000. This is for some software, for library books, for textbooks, instructional aids, those kind of things in that line.
Is that difference kind of like, is it a normal?
And depending on how they budgeted in previous years. So if this year, for next year, I don't anticipate it being increased 60%. So I think it's going to stay pretty much in the 80s or up to 100. In that realm.
Normally, what is the purpose of waiting 10 to 12 days?
To make sure that you have time to go through it. And normally, in the past, we actually have put it in the newspaper and stuff when we do our budget.
Okay.
And that's why a lot of school districts you see, even the city and the county, they normally publish their budget.
That's usually for the beginning when you do the proposed.
Mm-hmm.
You put that in the paper, and then 10 days later it has to go to the state by the 15th of July. So
right.
Then you do it adopted.
And see, that's so, when we did the initial part of this. So this is just the revision.
Right. This is just a revision of
mm-hmm.
it. It did increase it, but this, by the deadlines that I looked up with ABE, this did not have to go to the paper.
I think a lot of people just do that just for a matter of transparency, pretty much. So. Ms. Romero, does that answer your questions
mm-hmm.
on that negative?
Mm-hmm. It just kind of gets me why there's so much of a difference.
You know, if I had looked earlier, I would have found out why they had put $228,000 in there. I don't recall right now why it was. Yes, I understand.
Yeah.
Yeah, what are me too?
Yeah, it's just popping
yeah.
out of that. Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Any questions? Okay, without any further questions, I'd like to move to adjourn at, let's see, 5:27.
I'll second it.
Ayes?
Aye.
We enter our regular board meeting for the May 7th. Opening 1A, I've already called the meeting to order, so I didn't really see it necessary that we need to do the pledge again. You guys okay with that?
Okay.
So I'd like to move to adopt the agenda for the regular meeting for May 7th at 5:28.
I'll second it.
Ayes?
Aye.
Item 2, approval of the minutes. I was talking about tabling a couple of these. One from December, that's dating back prior to this board anyway. And so if you guys don't mind, I'm going to go ahead and table all these because there's some language that we need to straighten out. I'd just rather not go through each and every one of them individually right now, if you don't mind. You okay with that?
Yeah, it's just what I would be concerned about is piling up other board meetings and then having to deal with too many at a future.
Well, so that is the problem right here anyway, because, see, technically, these are supposed to be posted within 3 days of the meeting. And so we're already looking at January, February, December, and April. April, you know, that's another story if you want to do April. But January, February, and December, those are way past the three-day mark anyway. And so legally, you're supposed to have them posted within 3 days. And so, technically, another little bit of time isn't going to really matter. There were quite a few changes in there, and we had a hard time acquiring the audio form. So I have, like, some questions about some of that stuff, and I'd like to get those done by an independent agency. And so do you guys want to do April 22nd? Would you feel better doing that one?
Could you get a look at it?
And then I'll table the others if you don't mind. We have April. See right here, it says April on the regular meeting minutes. It says February, January 9th, February 6th, December 31st, but it doesn't say April 2nd. And April 2nd's in the packet.
25th. April 22nd, it says.
Right. But see, I have April 2nd in my packet, though.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not on the agenda.
Yes,
is the problem.
Isn't it A?
It's 2A, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
April 2nd.
April 2nd.
So how can you have that meeting minutes different? Oh, because the others are revisions. Gotcha. Okay. So do you guys have changes on April 2nd? We're on that one first. Sorry.
April 2nd, this would be the normal meeting
right. For
the board to consider the minutes for Tuesday, April the 2nd, because that was the last regular board meeting. And then the administration included the minutes of the April 22nd. That was the last board meeting that the board had. It was a special board meeting to consider the proposal from ASBA.
Mm-hmm.
The others, February 6th, January 9th, and December 31st, were meeting agenda minutes that the board had indicated make the following changes.
The revisions.
And we did.
Okay.
And so we're bringing those back because, as per the request of the governing board. So if you want to table those, that's fine. On April the 2nd, that was the last regular board meeting, and April 22nd was the last meeting you held.
And see, on that April 2nd, do you guys have changes on the April 2nd meeting? Because a lot of that language is really not accurate. On item A, for example, and I'd rather not go into the specifics of that, but and then we have D, which is also that other issue with the special activity contracts. But see, that we had already approved that item, you know, on D. So, and see, the last time I checked, they couldn't find the recordings. And so that's the quandary right there. And once we revise them and we approve them, we can't really go back and do that again.
We
and see, the ones for the second, that was a pretty, a lot of information on that meeting. You see, even like this one here, see that item 5A, that, did you guys not see any issues with the second item 5A?
What are you on?
On the second, the regular meeting of April 2nd.
Item
A, the language on that. Because really what technically, if you want to get into it, specifically it said, regarding to offer or not offer the contract this school year, Mr. Almost, see, I had initially made a motion, and then I rescinded the motion, and then you made a motion, and then you changed the motion. Remember?
Right, well...
Right, and so this says...
Well, I made that motion, but that motion was never seconded, so that therefore that motion is dead.
Yeah, but see, that's the whole point, though, is that it wasn't seconded, but it said that you made the motion to open the position, and that's when we fouled it, because the motion that we approved wasn't even on the agenda. And, you know what I mean? The motion
right.
that you made, we approved
right.
it, but it wasn't even on the agenda.
And that's what we met a second time after that, regarding the superintendent position.
Right. So you guys okay with the language the S is?
Yeah, that's what happened. I'm okay with it.
Made a motion to open the position to the public. And at that point you said so Morallo could apply. We can't just open it to the public, because that's what I'm saying is that we did vote on that, but that we made a huge mistake there. But see, initially, I had made a motion, then you said you wanted to make a motion. I rescinded my motion, and then you made your motion. And then you changed your motion from that motion to the motion that's
so
on there.
That first motion that I made that was never seconded, so therefore it's...
Right.
It was
and do you remember what that motion was?
No.
No. Are you guys okay with the language just being kind of vague like that? Or?
I mean, that's what happened.
What happened was that you were going to table this.
Right.
And then we had voted and we said yes, but then you brought it up where you wanted to open the position so we can receive the applications from Dr. Morallo.
Right.
So then Garner...
Rescinded.
Rescinded, went back, and then you made the motion
to open
the position.
Mm-hmm.
To the public.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand, but not to the public, but just open the position. I do understand that part.
But see, that we messed up because that wasn't even on the agenda.
Right.
We approved something that wasn't on the agenda.
I know.
Yeah. So are you guys just okay just with that as it is? Or do you
I'm
want
okay
it more
with
accurate?
Language because that's in a nutshell, that's what happened. Even
it just doesn't have the language about the motion was rescinded.
Yeah, that's
and that's
part
the, what
that
I'm
that
saying is
there.
That it's just not, I was just thinking that we should have it accurate the way that it was said, you know.
Well, I think so too, because that's going to, if anything would happen, that backs us up with Mr. Olmo's motion.
Right.
Which you said was not on the agenda at that time.
Right. So, in the end, we ended up going back and redoing that whole motion anyway. So
I don't think it really matters because we met again after
later
this
on, right. And
rectified it.
Right. So are you okay with that language then?
I'm okay with it.
Okay. Ms. Romero?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. Alrighty. Let's go ahead and approve the April 2nd regular board meeting minutes. And then I'll get the recordings and have these other, like December, that one was done at the other board anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and then we can do all these others at our next regular meeting if you want, because it's not a big issue. It's
like the April 22nd one, that was the one regarding the superintendent position, right?
Okay, let's look at that one then when we get down to that one. Let's get A done first, okay?
Okay.
All right. So do we have anything further on April 2nd? And we're just going to accept it as is, right?
Yes.
Okay. And so D, we on the Azella thing with the special duty contracts, we did approve that.
Yes.
Right. Okay, so we made the motion to approve as presented. The vote, it was seconded. We had our vote, but then it went on to legal. And so that's correct the way that reads, right? Okay with that? All right. Okay, so pertaining to item A, I'd like to move that we approve the minutes as presented.
I'll second it.
Mr. Elmo seconds. Ayes?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. So, on to the next one. I'm going to ask for a motion to table December 2018, January 9th, 19, and February 6th, 19, for we can, I can get those recordings, if I get a second.
Which ones again?
December 31st, 2018, January 9th, 2019, and February 6th, 2019.
What's wrong with January 9th and February 6th?
Well, because that was when you guys first came on the board, and I had requested those recordings back then, where I could have them transcribed, mm-hmm. and then they couldn't be found. And so that's why I'd rather do that.
They haven't been found yet?
They have been found now.
They found them.
They said they found them.
We have the recordings for December 31st, January the 9th, February the 6th.
Okay.
Now, at the last board meeting in March, if it pleases the board, the change to the February 6th one, no, excuse me, the change to the January 9th one was just the addition of one name,
right.
which we have added.
Okay.
The change to February the 6th was there was one particular item where Mr. Olmos made a recommendation because we had excluded that there was a motion made and seconded and that the vote was 3-0. So we added that language. So those two are relatively minor. The December 31st, I think we have gone after that one for quite a while, and there were some language changes that the board had requested, which we did. So, but if you want to look at that and table it, we can certainly bring it back in June.
Well, here's the thing. The main reason I'm bringing this up is because up until now, they've been in absentia. And we couldn't find them. And then we discussed this last time. We'd only had one recording that was found. And so that's why I'm confused about, are they found? Where are they?
So you know. for the purposes of clarity,
mm-hmm.
it probably would be a good idea to table it
mm-hmm.
so that we could be all on the same page.
Right.
You have the recordings. If you wanted to take them somewhere independently, that's perfectly fine.
Okay, that'd be great. Because those are actually property of the board.
And then we could bring these back.
Okay.
But at this point, then, there is no more other changes.
Right.
It's just a matter of us taking the minutes, and we will bring them back in June.
Okay. All right. Perfect.
But so, the one on April the 22nd...
We
was
do that
the last
one.
Board meeting that you had.
Okay. Let's do that one. So let's go ahead and table these others, if you don't mind. And then you'll get me those recordings?
Yes.
Like today, yes. Before I leave? Okay, so I'd like to make a motion to table the February 6th, January 9th, 2019 and the December 31st, 2018 until our next regular meeting.
So February 6th, January 9th, and December 31st?
Mm-hmm.
I'll second that.
Okay. Mr. Elmo seconds. Ayes?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. And then we're going to proceed on to the April 22nd, 2019 minutes. This is when Mr. Clement was here. And we did the thing with the SBA. Not really have any changes on there, do you guys? It just is how we went through each item and then solidifying the agreement. So to take your time though. You have any questions?
This is saying anything about never mind. So the thing about the community
forum
and also the survey that's included in the stakeholder involvement, right?
I'm four. Stakeholder involvement, right? And that included, remember the discussion, it's just not in here specifically, but it had in there about the public forum and the survey. And
okay.
You want that added in?
No.
And it was in the written agreement, too.
I don't think it's necessary.
Okay. So we okay?
Yeah. Unless you think it's necessary.
No.
Can I make a motion?
Okay. I would like to make a motion to approve the meeting of April 22nd, 2019.
Second the motion.
Aye.
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 Okay, moving on to our information items. Information item A, presentation for the Cochise County Chief Science Officers Program regarding STEM student ambassadors.
Got a visit from Ms. Elena Ryan. She represents Cochise County Regional Lead, and they're interested in starting a kind of a STEM student activity program for students. We would select up to six junior high students, and they would be exposed to some STEM type oriented field trips. They would start a club, and the whole purpose is to increase the capacity and increase the interest of students in STEM oriented careers and STEM oriented studies. And so we brought it to the board as an information item. We can certainly bring it back as an action item in terms of the letter that was submitted by Ms. Ryan. We had a pleasant meeting, and they seemed pretty well charged. STEM is very big at the high school, especially here in Bisbee, and they connected with career-oriented activities that many students then take advantage of. And so it just stands to reason that NACO should participate in this. because our students feed into Bisbee and they're going to be exposed obviously to science, and they'll be exposed to career-oriented subject matter through, they call them CTE programs. So at this point, I wanted to bring you the letter from Ms. Ryan, see if you had any questions, and then in June, I probably will bring this back to you if you like it, and we will then work to create a club, and I will get them four to six names of our students.
And it's like junior high,
yes,
primarily, right?
Yes. It's bigger at the high school, obviously, because of the CTE programs, but it's always a good idea to start it at the junior high.
And so STEM, have you guys familiar with STEM?
That's like a science program.
It's science, technology, engineering, and math. And I think the good thing about it is it kind of gets the kids that are techies and science people kind of involved in it early on, and then when they get into high school, kind of launches their careers. And they even send kids to, like one of their kids went to New Orleans, and they go to, and they're like in groups, you know, there's really great creative programs, and it really just helps them think about where their careers could go as far as engineering and stuff like that. So I think it's a great program. So
so we would start off with some ambassadors. The ambassadors essentially formulate a club.
Yeah.
And then off of that club, it would lead to more STEM-related activities within our school. Right now, our teachers, Ms. Christie and Ms. Bruno, are doing quite a bit of work along those lines. So I think these ambassadors would probably be students that they would recommend. And then we could start up with the club, and then hopefully in the future, is if our enrollment continues to be stable or it increases, then we might be able to do a more STEM-oriented class per se. And so this is kind of the basement, if you will, the starting off point of where we would go.
Okay. I guess that sounds, I think it'd be great for them if you have kids that would be interested in it. Anything to more make an advantage to their education and stuff, I think is a good thing. So you guys, we can decide
it's
and make
just,
a
it's just an information item tonight, and I will bring it back in June for information action, and then off of that I will then create student ambassadors and go through the process of working with the teachers and moving in that direction.
Okay.
It's really a nice program.
I think it'd be beneficial for our kids, and if you guys think you're kind of interested in that, doing that?
I think so.
Okay. Alrighty, so I think it'd be good to revisit that and dig into it further. Perfect. Thank you. Okay, item B, the financial report. Ms. Horton.
Okay, these are just the April vouchers that were presented this month, or in April, rather. The first one is the expense voucher, first two, but the large amount for the $278,000 compared to the other numbers. This one included the last payment for, the third payment, I'm sorry, for Bisbee High School. That's why that is.
The tuition?
Yeah, the tuition, that's the third payment. So you take about $234,000 out of that, then we're about down to our normal range on the voucher of $40,000 in that area.
So that's the one that says food. And so that's...
Well, there's in that voucher for that date, we had food expenses that we paid out of that to total up $278,000.
Okay, perfect.
Okay. Is it normally that high?
The tuition?
Yeah,
yes. It's about $234,000 a quarter.
And so we were sitting on $800,000, and so now it's up to $1 million. And what is the actual number now? It's over $1 million now.
Yes, it is.
Is it $1.6 million?
No, it was not that high. It's $1.1 million.
$1.1 million?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you, Ms. Martin. Item four. Presentation, discussion, and action regarding the approval of the revision 2 of the fiscal 18-19 expenditure budget.
And that is the correct one that I gave you in the long paper. This matches what was up on the screen. Like I said, the M&O increased by $178,000, and that would cover all the deficits that we were showing on the report that I was giving you for a while, where it showed the negative amount on M&O. Mm-hmm. Capital didn't show any negative amount, but that has increased. Well, that one decreased, I'm sorry, just a little bit, just to put enough money in there to basically pay all the expenses of items that we were paying for this year out of capital, plus a little bit more. So that one should be good.
So what do you guys think? Do you want to go ahead and push it through, or do you feel you're ready to go ahead and do that? We can if you want. Because we're getting into, you know, close to graduation, and we don't, we were talking about trying to eliminate having a lot of meetings stacking up.
Mm-hmm. I just had one question on the, what is voluntarily?
Those are all the, I don't know why it got labeled that way, but those are a lot of the OSI, Medicare's, the Social, you know, the Social Security badge, the federal taxes, the state taxes. There's also some medical deductions in there that some people opt to pay for their dependents, so that's in that group. That should present most of what's in that group, and that's on the vouchers. But yeah, this is on the budget hearing, but that's on the vouchers. Did that answer your question?
So it's mostly just like, I don't want to say miscellaneous, but it's like what the employees or what the teachers have
taken
like for family
teacher,
and
yes.
Stuff like that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just want to reiterate, Ms. Walker, that if it pleases the board and you do want to table this, that's perfectly fine, but there would need to be another special board meeting.
By the 15th.
By the 15th.
Right. I think it would just, if you guys want to thumb through it and then we can make a decision if you're ready to go, and that's okay too.
Well, you said the purpose to table it so that... So
usually
that
we always do 10 to 12 days to... review it, but if you feel confident in your numbers, and that's okay too. I mean, it doesn't, we don't have to adhere to what we've done in the past either.
The numbers are normal, right?
Yes.
They're not
on the worksheets. You know, when I increased the number of student enrollment, and then they were factored by the base level, that made the increase.
Okay.
And then I just adjusted it into the many lines that you see on page 2 to make it all the budget come out to the minute.
I feel pretty comfortable in making a decision.
Mm-hmm.
And again,
Okay, and we are creeping up on, you know, the deadline. So.
And technically, legally, that's the only places I can make changes.
Mm-hmm.
After the budget.
Mm-hmm. Are you guys ready to move?
I am.
Okay. Pertaining to item A, I'd like to move to approve the revision to the fiscal year 18-19 expenditure budget.
I'll second that motion.
Mr. Rawls seconds. Aye. Or Mr. Mr. Rawls, I'm sorry.
Aye.
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 That's a relief.
Anyway. Okay. Item B, presentation, discussion, and action regarding approval of the vouchers for the month of April. This is all our typical same old business, no?
Absolutely. These are the ones that you have the backup for. The payrolls were in here also, plus you also have the ones where we paid to the vendors. where you see the checks for supplies and the internet. And
so Donna, since this is the first time we've done this budget, would you just kind of run us, you don't have to go line by line, but just why don't you go through just page by page and just kind of tell us exactly where the payroll is and point that out, please.
Okay, payroll is voucher number 20 and number 19. 21, I'm sorry, going backwards. 20 and 21. These are the, on the front page is the five funds, I can't count tonight, that I pay payroll out of for the people. They work out of these funds, and that's where we pay these people, out of those funds. The voucher onto these attachments shows the amount taken out for health insurance, their state retirement, long-term disability, their withholding, and so on and so forth, their Medicare, their Social Security. These are all the deductions and which total up the actual payroll. So then there is also the direct deposit salaries.
Gilbert C. Valenzuela.
I'm sorry?
Gilbert C. Valenzuela.
Are you looking on the expense ones? Okay. Mm-hmm. That is a gentleman that we have do some of the mechanical work on our vehicles, on the buses. Mm-hmm. He has been very faithful in taking care of our buses.
He's the one in Palominas?
Yes.
We've done that because we don't have our own mechanic.
Did I answer your question?
Yes, we will get a break on our fuel, huh? We have to pay exactly what they want at the pump. We don't get any break whatsoever. That's crazy, isn't it? Mm-hmm. We used to do that. They used to. Not anymore, huh?
We pay retail.
Right. Okay.
So pretty much the biggest one is just the high school road.
And the
that's the
yes.
one that looks really bad. It? Mm-hmm.
Which what?
The high school one. I can't believe it.
I know. It is scary, isn't it?
It is.
Mm-hmm. And it's unavoidable. We dodged the bullet on that for a long time, and then they caught up with us, and so they've been hitting us hard ever since.
It's by state law. It's by statute. Mm-hmm. Title 15. I used to do the bills to go out to other schools, so and now I'm on the other end of it. So yeah.
It was a good run there for a little bit. You have any questions?
Nope. I don't.
Item B. Presentation, discussion, action regarding the approval of the vouchers for the month of April. I'd like to move to approve.
I'll second that motion.
Mr. Elmo seconds.
Aye.
Aye. The motion carries. Item C, presentation, discussion, and action regarding the increased cost of health and dental insurance, which we knew this was coming with Payne. He said that, remember when Payne was here, he said that was all going to be going up. Mm-hmm. And I think Payne was the one that said that the health and dental and us that actually exceeded the Red for Ed money, right? Remember when he said
yes.
that? Yeah. So that's good. I think it's good we pay their medical and dental. I think that's a good thing for us to do that.
And we're bringing this for your consideration because this is an item, the benefits portion, along with what Ms. Horton hopefully will find out at our meeting tomorrow in terms of the monies that will be coming in for next year so that we can make a recommendation to the board so that you can make an educated guess about what the contracts for the employees will be. And that's something that I know we've been discussing for a little while. But we needed to have this information voted on this today, but since that meeting from the Arizona School Board, the Arizona School Business Officials, I think Donna will be able to provide some information about what should go into the contracts for next year. So it probably would be prudent to have a meeting prior to the teachers leaving on May 22nd so that we can then provide contracts for employees, which I think is something we're all interested in.
So do you have, because when we were at training the other day, they said that we're really pushing it, because I was wanting to get the teachers' contracts on there because they were wanting to get them early. I think you mentioned we don't want to be waiting forever. And so, and they said the longer we wait, that we're really kind of pushing it already, that we're kind of behind on all that. So what window are we looking at if we can get those contracts going? I want to get it on this agenda, but if we just had too much business going on.
Right.
So
I would hope that if we could have a meeting middle of next week, at that point we should be able to provide you, given that you vote on this benefits portion today and we get the information about the projections for next year. I've been in discussion with Ms. Horton. We're pretty confident that we can get contracts and then provide you information so that the board can then make a decision about, okay, this is what we'll offer our employees for next year. And that should be a fairly quick turnaround so that our employees can be signing their contracts by the time they leave for the summer.
And we don't want them worrying about that over the summer. And also, have you given it any thought where we were talking about with all the students we have moving up in the other grades and the splits that we have and how many teachers you're going to be needing and what levels?
Right now, and it's still preliminary, I'm looking at probably the addition of one elementary teacher. And my first priority would be to break up the combo classes that we have, the splits between first, second, and I believe I have a second, third, to kind of go away from that concept.
Mm-hmm. And don't we have a big fourth or fifth going up?
The fourth is about 26 students, but we have one class. The fifth grade, we have two classes of about 26
That's
in each
a big
class.
So that fifth grade is going into junior high?
Into junior high.
So we're going to have to get another teacher in junior high?
We may. Mm-hmm. Right now, I haven't arrived at that conclusion.
So what's the number, 38 or something?
38,
yeah.
In a class?
The total of the fifth grade.
Oh, it's 52. About 52.
52, yeah.
Yeah, because they're each at about 26.
Okay.
And
okay,
again,
so will you think about that?
Giving and taking about one kid here and there.
Okay.
But we're over 50 fifth graders right now. And we have about 33, 34 kindergartners. And so they will be in first grade next year. And hopefully we're hoping to be able to retain all of them. And so we probably will need two first grade classes.
Mm-hmm.
But with the addition of the elementary teacher, the other way to look at this is with the inclusion of the one more teacher, which I'm fairly confident because our enrollment has been pretty steady and has gone up, which is really good news. The second piece to that is going to be whether or not we can introduce some fine arts. And I know the board had spoken about that earlier in the year in terms of our ability to offer some fine arts, which in turn makes NACO more
desirable,
marketable,
right.
And desirable.
So you're talking about just maybe one more position? Or are we
right,
going to
right now, I'm being fairly conservative, yeah. Fairly confident that one more. And then the other piece that adds to this is that it appears that all of our staff is wanting to return. So that really helps in terms of not needing to hire.
Right.
And I know other districts are not in that position. So it might be that we have to hire one teacher or possibly two.
Well, I guess fifth grade and up, or sixth and up, they float. But the thing is that, see, normally, I can't remember what the state set the number at for maximum capacity, but NACO, we didn't have that same number. We set our number at 21, and we don't have to adhere to that. But we like to keep it low because we have so many kids that are Spanish speakers, and it takes us approximately three years to get them proficient. We really need for them to have the individualized attention to benefit, you know, as much as they can, you know, to stay up academically, don't you think?
18 to 24 seems to work. obviously with the youngsters, you're looking at a kindergarten class. 18 is about, you know, we'd love to have them at about 15, 16, but 18 is workable.
But on kindergarten, 30 kids going
forward—that's a lot.
Yeah,
that's
great.
Yeah, that is. That's not serving anybody.
No, and the kids either.
Yeah.
You know, they need to have really.
And that's
some...
why we were fortunate at the beginning of the year. We were able to split that kindergarten class.
And our one, two, what is our number there? That split is first grade. Do you have any idea what how many kids are in first going up?
My teachers are here.
Let's do that.
Let me ask them.
Okay.
There's 37 first graders.
37. Wow, so that's a lot, right? 37.
How many do your second graders do you have?
I have 16 second graders.
And Miss Doherty?
How many?
16.
16
and
second?
And Miss Doherty has 12.
Oh, okay.
Second graders.
Okay.
So that's 28.
Yeah. Which isn't bad, but I mean, that's why we try to kind of hover around 21, you know, if they get the attention that they need. And then so third, we have a third grade teacher?
I have 21. I have 21 students, and Ms. Doherty has 12.
Well, that's pretty good. Okay. Oh, so that's both third.
33.
So you have 21, and Doherty has
12.
Okay. And they're split up because of language learners?
Yes.
12, okay.
And I believe Ms. Reese in fourth grade has about 27 fourth graders.
Twenty-six. And do you think, what do you think? Do you think that that's, that they're going into fifth, so they're not floating yet?
I think 26 is doable.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Do you have help with those 26?
No.
No, it's just you?
Just me.
That's
and I have the ELD and the general ed. I've got a combined, and it's worked out pretty good having them together.
Okay, great. All righty. So, I don't know. I mean, that's. I think we're looking at least two. And there's a site I found that we can post teachers on for without costing us anything.
Yeah.
And so.
Oh, believe me, I'd love to hire two.
Yeah.
Right now, I'm just being a little conservative.
Right.
And I'm fairly confident that I can hire the elementary teacher, but I don't want to do anything until the board is able to have a good foundation of this is the funds that we think we're going to have for next year.
Well, and
what I'd hate to do is go out there, commit to someone, and then have to retract.
Right.
The other good news is that I believe, about 5 applications from teachers desiring to work here. And that is really good news. I know that when I got here, there were 5 positions that needed to be hired, and we ended up doing a job fair, and that really helped us out. So I think this year, with the applications that we've gotten, if we have to hire one or two, unless one of the positions is specialized, like art, then we should be able to go out and get this done fairly quickly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. I just don't want the teachers stretched to their limit either.
Yeah.
You know?
But I do recommend that if it pleases the board, not to wait till June and to have a meeting. It would be a special board meeting solely for the purposes of considering the financial package and then making a decision and then obviously signing on the contracts, and then before the teachers leave for the summer, they would be able to vote or sign their contracts, which is a good thing.
Is that the meeting you're talking about next week?
That would be the meeting that I would be recommending that you have.
Alrighty. So, you guys ready to move on C? Without any further discussion, I'd like to move we approve the increase cost in health and dental insurance for the employees.
I'll second that.
Mr. Rummel seconds. Ayes?
Aye.
Aye. Item D, presentation, discussion, and possible, and action, you'll see possible, regarding the previous approval of the special activity contracts.
So at the last board meeting, The board voted on a recommendation from the administration. It was in reference to special activity contracts for our employees who had assisted with the Azella, the Ames, and the AZ Merit. At the meeting, Ms. Walker had indicated that she felt that, based on legal counsel advice, that it was an ill-advised move, simply because when you pay an employee who is already working during the day, it carries with it some issues. But nevertheless, the board voted on it, and I believe it was 3-0 or 2-1.
I think we all voted for it. Right.
So at the end of that, or as you were about to vote, I indicated to the board that I would be communicating with legal counsel regarding that issue, and legal counsel indicated that they do not advise it. Because for the classified employees who work in the process of helping out with the Azella, they are merely being reassigned of what their normal duties would normally be.
Outside of capacity.
So if they normally would work with small reading groups and they would normally supervise students, let's say, I'm just using examples of what they normally do, on this particular day, they would be assisting with the Azella test. And so in consideration for that, the attorney advised you should not pay them over and above what you're paying them already. And so I'm here tonight to say to you that there's been no money that has been paid out to any of the employees. We were about to do that based on your vote, but based on legal counsel advice, I am here to basically say, let's not do that. Let's rescind that, and let's not pay. There is a caveat here, and the caveat is that we have two classified employees who did work over and above and beyond their contract hours. And those two employees, I believe, each put in between 20 and 21 hours when you combine all of the testing. And I would recommend to the board that is an appropriate expenditure because they were working beyond what would normally be considered their contract day.
Well, see, that I think when we discussed this initially, our legal counsel is the same as your legal counsel.
Correct.
And so that's why I told you that she said that it was, number one, illegal and it was pertaining to double dipping, but that she thought that since you guys had already had that discussion and the services had been rendered, she didn't really see an issue with proceeding with paying them because you had already brought that up to them
right after
the fact. And so that in the future, you should come to the board prior to the services being rendered. So why, if we already approved it, and we approved it in good faith because they've been promised it, what changed from then to now, and the same legal counsel giving me the same advice versus you, and why change it after the fact now?
Because I don't want to put the board in a difficult position. There was already an issue connected to this in reference to the communication protocol in terms of, you know, how that was handled. And I own that. That is something that I need to do better in the future. Secondly is I wanted to be upfront with the board in terms of the follow-up that I indicated to the board that I would do, which I did. And yes, it is the same legal counsel. Her name is Denise Bainton. And Denise indicated to me pretty much the same as what she had told you.
And what I told you, right?
Now, having said that then, you have voted on that. There's been no money paid out. I wanted to come to the board and say, it is not my recommendation that we pay, given the fact of for the reasons that Ms. Baton outlined. And so, but it's the pleasure of the board. If you decide to leave it alone, you give the administration direction, we'll pay it. But I don't advise it.
See, and I feel that we did it, we already approved it, and then I feel that they're going to be disgruntled towards the board if we jerk it away from them because we have approved it. In hindsight, I feel like we shouldn't have done it, but I felt that it was an awkward position to be in by not giving it to them when they saw that money was, like, right there, you know. So what do you guys think?
Did Denise say
exactly what
under what circumstances would it be appropriate to pay this?
If they're not already working
under
in that capacity.
The outline for me was if they were working on handling the duties of testing or test organization or planning outside of their contract date. In that respect, it becomes more of a safe harbor for us to then pay the employee. For the purposes of the, I believe it was three or four of our classified staff, the bulk of their work, in fact, the vast majority of it, was solely during contract time because they were working directly with students. And if the students are here, they're on contract time. There were two individuals that had to do a lot of work along with me in the organization and planning, and that was a lot deeper work in terms of just getting the planning done, and that was done outside of the contract
date. You mean like Morgan and Rodriguez, right?
Right, and not fully. They did do quite a bit of work during the contract date, but about 20 hours of that spilled over into outside the contract date, what we would normally consider outside the contract date. And so for that, I was saying it is advisable that they be paid for that.
Well, I think, too, like, for example, like if it's a sports event and it's after school, then that's how I kind of relate to it that way. If it's after hours and they're doing a special activity, then that's a special activity contract because they were already here, and then that's where problem comes in with double dipping. And so anytime something like that, normally we would just approve it before the services are rendered, and then you can discuss it then, and it's not after the fact. So what do you guys think?
I think we did make that decision in good faith. We also made the decision with the understanding that you would seek legal advice, which you did. And I think it's only fair that we take the recommendation and pay those two employees.
I agree.
And I have spoken with the employees. I own it. It's on me. And I, as I said, I did speak to the employees.
And I'm sure Ms. Murray and Mr. Rodriguez, they're both really high-end educators, and they've been here for they're not new to the game, so I know that they really are invested in NACO school. And so I do think it's fair that they be compensated accordingly for their going above and beyond. So.
But it's also not a situation where we have to call back money. That would have been very difficult. And
so it didn't go out. Now, why did you? Oh, because you were going to go to talk to legal. So
exactly.
And nothing went out. So how do you guys feel? Do you want to just rescind the aides and then approve? We'll rescind the whole thing, and then we'll approve Morgan and Rodriguez. What do you think of that?
Is that something we could do under this item?
It's an action item. Mm-hmm.
I don't know that you can do Morgan and Rodriguez because they A, were not noticed, and B, you simply would be taking another board action. So what I'd like to do is bring that one back with those two names.
So it doesn't say possible action, though. It says action regarding
yes.
the previous approval.
So what
of
I was
activity.
After
so
is,
rescinding
is
the
simply
whole thing?
Just rescinding it.
Okay.
And then letting me come back to you
with the new item altogether.
Right.
Okay, let's do that.
And if you happen to have a special board meeting, I could possibly include it there too.
Okay. All right. If that works, I think that makes more sense to undo the whole thing.
Yeah.
Okay, item D. I'd like to make a motion to rescind the previous approval of the special activity contracts pertaining to Azalla.
I'll second that motion.
Mr. Olmos seconds. Ayes.
Aye.
Aye.
And just as a side note, I apologize to the board for that confusion and to our employees.
Okay, all's well. Item E, presentation discussion action regarding the request from University of Arizona student to conduct soil sample tests in the lot on the far east side of the campus. And so is this in addition to the county, what they were doing, the soil samples for E. coli? Oh, that would be you?
Yes.
Okay, it's your floor then. Just tell us.
If I could start, please.
Okay.
Back in either September or October, there was a sewage spill across the border. And NACO Sonora is higher than NACO Arizona. So as obviously with fluid, it heads this way. Most of it went to Green Bush Draw. I was getting confused saying that. There was some pooling across the street adjacent to our property near the track. We're not aware that any of it spilled over and came onto school property. What we're not aware of is whether historically that has ever happened. The other thing is that I think it was back in November or December, I came to the board with a proposal that there be a parking lot in the east parking lot, or in the east lot that is currently vacant, and that there would be a nature trail back near the fence area. There were some concerns, rightly so, by the board about, wait a minute, we haven't done soil sampling. We don't know if that soil is safe, especially if we were going to put in a garden. Historically, there had been little plots about the size of the table that various classes would have gardens.
But that's
over
closer
in that
this
area,
way, right?
And it is closer to the left field area. So it kind of went dormant. We did have an individual that works for the Cochise County. He came and gave an estimate that seemed to be a ganga in terms of a pretty good deal in terms of grading the area that would become a parking lot. Us possibly even being able to do a parent drop-off pickup in that area. The nature trail would be part of it. And that they would also turn the soil and put soil in so that we could create one garden that each class could then come and take a portion of, and they would each grow their whatever it is they decided to grow. And it would be right in the middle of where the parking structure would be. The dilemma was we did not know how healthy the soil was. Recently, we had Alma Anides Morales and her professor.
See, right now we're talking about the item, though, about the soil test.
Right.
Right? And so this is not on the agenda to discuss down the road.
You're right.
And so let's
so
stick to the agenda.
I just wanted to add context about why we were here.
I know. We just need to stick to the
you
agenda.
You got it. I think I was off on a bird walk.
Right.
I apologize.
I know. And so the reason I'm mentioning that is because, and just so you know, this has been something, the sewage thing has been going on for 30 years. And so 30 years ago, the way that the county handled it is they would take a ton of chlorine tablets, and it definitely was blowing this way. It wasn't if, it was. And for 30 years, they would dump a ton of chlorine tablets there to offset the E. coli issue. And so whenever this last one happened, the end was busted off, and it was spraying over. And so the idea that he's referring to, that is something that a matriarch of NACO was her project, and there was a committee over 30 years ago to initiate the same idea, Ms. Boyer Armstrong, to have the community involvement to do that. And so that's why whenever we do proceed with that, we want to have the community do that, and because that is something we've been working on for 30 years, but we have to make sure that this other issue is remedied. Unfortunately, for 30 years, it has blown periodically, you know. So so proceed with your, what you have to offer.
I'll stand up, so I'm a little short. So hi, good afternoon. My name is Alma Nides. I am a master's student at the University of Arizona with the Department of Soil, Water, and Environmental Science.
I'm Diego Huerta. I'm an undergraduate student at the University of Arizona in the same program.
We're in the same department with the same lab, Dr. Monica Ramirez Andreota. She is our main advisor, and we are part of the Integrated Environmental Science and Environmental Health Risk Laboratory. So Cochise County came and also approached us back in October because of this issue that has been going on for so long. And they do have concerns about what could be the health and environmental impacts because of these sewage overflows. So what we want to do is do a soil sampling of the areas that have been affected So right around here, and even in the school, if possible. So that's why we came and approached Dr. Morado, since the school is so close to one of the point of entries, and to ask him for his permission if we could come in and sample and involve the school, involve the students, and the teachers too, because they know how the teacher, how the students behave more than any of us, to do a risk assessment. So quantify what could be the potential health risk of these sewage overflows, and hopefully with the results that we have, inform or give the results to the community and to the board so that an informed decision can be made regarding the future construction of the school garden and the nature path. So we would be testing the soil for microorganisms and then relating them back to whether these are pathogenic or not, and then using that to quantify the risk. But we want to, you know, get your approval so that we can have a collaboration between the county, the university, and the school. And all of this would be free of charge. The county will pay for everything. And I am being, or we are being advised by Dr. Monica Ramirez, who specializes in environmental health, and Dr. Charles Gerba, who is the microbiologist in our department. And I believe in your packet you have a letter where it states the project's goals, and hopefully so we can get your approval.
Now, are you aware that at one point they did test the water, and our water fountains did test positive for E. coli? Some years ago, and so I think that'd be interesting to see, you know, how those numbers turn out. And so, will you be doing it in a variety of areas, or and you know where the specifically the blue the
we
end cap came up?
We are working with the county and with their environmental health team. So I believe it was Carl who maybe came at one of the meetings previously, and they know exactly where they have put in the chlorine tablets and where they have built the berms in the past. So yes,
great.
We are working a lot with them to identify those sites.
Okay, great, thank you. And Ms. Morello, I have to tell you, I don't mean to cut you short, but you know, when we're going through all this training, we have to stick to the agenda. And so that's why when you got off on that, I'd like, this is not on the agenda.
I remember the training.
I know.
It was like,
open,
no,
open meeting law.
It was a good call.
Violation.
It's a good call. So,
okay, thank you.
You know, from that standpoint, if obviously I'm asking for your vote on this, so that basically you give me permission to sign off on this so that they can do their good work. When, if I may ask a question, when would you expect to have results?
We want to have results by the end of the year, and we want to share these in both English and Spanish. So, you know,
okay.
Whether it's like family nights or any events that the school has.
And when will you first initially start your process?
We have already begun sampling in February and once, was it in March?
So we'll go through the end of 19?
Yes. Yeah, so okay. If any wet events happen, so any rain or any other sewage overflow event happens, we will come straight down here and collect more samples. So testing will be going on until the end of the summer.
Well, see, I guess what happened, according to a plumber that works over there, it got plugged up. And so to alleviate the pressure, they hit it with a sledgehammer, and that's what it blew. So, and again, it's been going on. They said 30 to 40 years, didn't they say at that meeting?
Mm-hmm.
And so every time we think that we're in the clear, here it comes again, you know.
Yeah.
So that'll be great. So sounds good to me.
I do have one question.
Yes.
How does this help you guys academically? How does this help you guys academically?
So my department requires us to have like a research thesis. So I will be writing about this and my thesis project.
The experience in itself, huh?
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
right.
And I wanted it to be do my research in something that was real life and that it was useful.
Mm-hmm.
So I was really happy when Cochise County approached us. I'm more than happy to help.
And it's not to mention an ongoing problem for 30 to 40 years. That's kind of a big deal. You know?
Yeah.
So, well, thank you. I appreciate
it. Yeah.
And good presentation on your part also.
Thank you.
You guys have any questions?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, without anything further, I'd like to move to approve the request for the University of Arizona students to conduct the soil sample test in the lot on the far east side of the campus.
I'll second that motion.
Mr. Olmos seconds. Ayes?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Okay. So moving on. Item F. Pretty nice logo, too, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so we had one addition late, Ms. Reese, and so everything else is good there. Okay, so item F, presentation, discussion, and action regarding the summer program special activity contracts for the teachers and the staff.
Yes, I'd like to thank the board. Back in March, I believe you passed the ability for NACO to hold a summer program for our students. And so we've been fairly busy trying to get teachers to agree to go to work in the summer. And by Friday, I should be able to give you a number, a preliminary number of how many students will come and partake of the summer program. I'm hoping that number to be over 100 and probably won't be more than 200. So we've had six teachers that agreed to work in the summer program. And as I was telling Ms. Walker prior to the meeting starting, we had one teacher that came yesterday, so I wanted to include her contract, but it was not part of your packet.
So that makes it seven.
So that would make it seven teachers. And so I'm asking for your consideration in voting for the special activity contract for the purposes of those 12 days. And because the program starts on June 3rd, and I believe our next board meeting is June the 4th, so I wanted to get these contracts into you today so that the teachers could start with an appropriate contract. Teachers stand to earn up to $1,650 if they were to work the complete time for the summer program. This also includes professional development that would occur every week. I believe it's two or three days a week they would do professional development. And then it also includes special duty stipends for classified employees. And I'm bringing to you five special duty stipends. Two of them are split between our two cafeteria workers. And then we have three parapros that will assist us with supervision, assist us with small group instruction, and assisting the teacher, similar to what they now do during the school year. And so I submit it for your consideration. There is one caveat. If we were to get more students, I'd like to have the class size between 12 and 15 students per teacher, because the instruction is going to be fairly intensive. But if I needed more teachers, I can either bring it back at the special board meeting, assuming we have one. But if I brought it back in June, the teachers will have already worked 2 days. So I would like your consideration in terms of if indeed I do hire more teachers, that I will submit through the Friday report notice of that and the justification for that. And then on June the 4th, I will bring you the special activity contract. But right now, on May the 7th, this is the most updated information that we have. What's going to drive this number is the amount of kids that show up for the program. If we have 100 students whose parents want them to come to the program, I think the employees that are here will be enough. But if we have more students that apply and want to come to the program, that's great. But then I'm probably looking to hire more teachers.
But we'll have to have that approved prior to services, obviously.
Well, if that was the case, then I can't let them start until June the 5th. And the program starts June 3rd.
And you don't think you could absorb it and carry it until you can get it to the board?
Because
technically that's illegal.
I could. Well, we did that at the beginning of the year. I don't know that it's illegal.
Well,
at the beginning of the year, we had a meeting on August 8th, and there were contracts that were approved, but teachers came to work late July because we had not had a board meeting.
Well, see, technically, you know, with this all this training we just had, remember, we're supposed to have and approved by the board prior to
now
hiring people.
If it pleases the board, assuming we have a meeting next week, I'll have a better idea of the amount of students that are going to be here. I may be able to bring you those contracts at that time.
Okay, so tell us, so right now we're looking at, for the teachers, $11,550, and then the aides, about $3,600.
No, ma'am.
At $1,650 each.
Oh, you're talking total.
Right.
I'm sorry, yes.
Not each. I was like, yes. No. No.
Yeah, I'm sorry. In my mind, I was thinking that the end of, you were about to make teachers very happy.
I know. So. Yeah, we're talking about totality here. Yeah.
I was like, wait.
And so we're talking about, so a total of $15,150 approximately.
Yes.
And then so for the whole summer school, we're looking at, what did you say, $31,000?
It was about that. So it's coming in under. Obviously, if we get more students and we require more teachers.
But that's $31,000 for the 12 days.
Right.
Okay.
Now, please be aware. Please be aware. These are the amount of teachers from NACO that have agreed, and they have first dibs. So if I can't get more teachers from NACO and we have more students, then the understanding is that I will seek teachers from other districts who are certificated who would work for these contracts, and then I would bring you their names.
And you might get less students, because sometimes we start out with this many and they drop, because
right.
People have vacation, they go into, you know, they see their families in Sonora and so forth. So.
Now, if we do have, let's say it's a very low number, then I have to decide whether or not is it prudent to continue the program, or number two, that I would reduce the amount of employees. And I probably would do that based on seniority.
Some people might be willing to go on vacation even, you know, you never know.
So with that said, I've been trying to cover all the possibilities, but this Friday, I should have a really good idea of how many kids are whose parents are going to send them to the
And they're
program.
Signing up now, and you'll
yes.
have a pretty good indication pretty shortly here. And depending on who really shows up too, I guess.
Yes.
Hopefully. Yeah. Okay.
But
all
tonight,
right.
This is the best information I could give you, so I'm recommending
kind
that
of tentative.
These be these be approved.
Okay. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay, is there anything further? I'd like to move to approve the one additional employee regarding the summer program, special activity contracts for the teachers and staff, if I can get a second.
Yeah, one additional employee plus the...
Reese and the others that were in the pack. And Reese, they gave us hers before the meeting, so we're all good to go legally on that. Okay?
I'll second that motion.
Mr. Elmo seconds. Ayes?
Aye.
Ayes. That motion carries. And item 5A, the superintendent's report.
Yes, there is a promote. Obviously, our promotion ceremony is scheduled for the 22nd of May. That is as of tomorrow, 2 weeks away. There is a request from some parents across the line. They would like to have an informal ceremony the day after we have our formal ceremony, and that would be on the 23rd. And it would be for, there are parents who, for whatever reason, cannot cross. And so the consideration was, can we have a short ceremony across the line after we do ours, so that those parents that wanted to celebrate the accomplishment of an eighth grade promotion could do that. It would not cost anything. I would work with the folks across the line. There is an auditorium over there that they believe they can use, and we would then essentially do the same ceremony that we did on the 22nd. The one on the 22nd is official and formal. The one on the 23rd would be informal. No one is required to go. But for those parents who would like to go and attend with their students, that it is a consideration for them. And so I know that there may be a parent request along those lines. So
technically, it's not really a school-funded activity.
No.
It isn't on our campus.
No.
So technically,
students wouldn't be required to go.
Right.
I would go.
But I'm just saying, technically, it doesn't involve us.
No.
It's actually like a thing you're doing on your own.
You probably would be invited.
Right.
But then it's up to you if you want to go. Teachers would not be required to attend. They're not required to attend hours.
But our buses won't be traveling.
No buses, no transportation.
Right.
It is an informal ceremony.
And where would you hold it?
It's in an auditorium in Naco, Sonora.
At a school?
At I don't know if it's at a school.
It's not a school.
It's not in
yeah.
the school. It's like on the side.
Okay.
And so that's why I didn't bring it up for a consideration for a vote, but I did want to inform you to let you know that this is a request that has been made. I don't see it's outside of what we're doing here as a school.
Right. So just an information.
Yes.
And we're throwing out the agenda for a vote anyway.
Yes.
So, okay. All righty. Thank you.
Secondly, is we just completed the third installment of the NIWA testing. We do three of those per year. And Julia, I think we've finished. And this concludes all the testing that has gone on since February. I feel like the testing has just gone on and on and on when you include all of it. But
I think we wish it all go away, really.
Finished. So I just wanted to alert the board that is done. Next, the board did receive a letter last week from Heinfeld Meach indicating that the administration was late in submitting some follow-up information from an audit that had taken place earlier in the spring. And I need to inform the board that we did complete the required information that Heinfeld Meach was looking for. And they have since, right before this board meeting happened, we got a list of documents indicating that it is some information that they will be submitting to the board and to the state. We seem to have completed what they required that we complete. There are some things that they're asking of me to comment on that I will do. There will be a conference call on Thursday with Heinfeld Meach to address that issue. And I believe then the board will receive the audit findings.
And will you be passing, could you copy the documentation that you received from them for us?
The one that I received today, you will all have it. I probably will forward it to you before I leave tonight.
Okay. All right. They had contacted me inquiring.
It was
they
a
had
real
a lot
concern
of gray
because
areas
we needed to complete some of that information, and I just wanted to inform you we did.
Okay.
Will we be fined because of the
penalty?
That I don't know.
Yeah.
That I don't know. I can't tell you yes or no. That is one of the questions I'll be asking on Thursday.
Okay. And then you'll find out what area it is that they will, like, in default?
Correct.
Okay. Ready.
So, in consideration of what we talked about regarding the budgets, I would like to request of the board that we set a meeting for next week at the end of this meeting so that we can come back to you and give you information and get those contracts done.
And what tentative date do you want to go?
It'd probably be next Tuesday or Wednesday.
Okay.
Depending on the schedule of the board, and that's probably something you can address here at the end of the meeting.
Could we do Wednesday? Does that conflict with your work? No. Okay.
No. That would be Wednesday, May 15th, and we could probably start at 5:15.
Okay. 15. All right, that works for me.
Okay.
That works for you guys.
So we'll tentatively set it.
Okay.
And I will be in touch in reference to the board agenda item. And again, if there's any, if I need to include more people for the summer school contracts, I will probably add that to the agenda as well.
So you should have something a little more definite,
correct,
maybe depending on how many you have signing up this for. Okay.
The Be Kind Assembly was a great success.
I heard it was great.
The performances were on target, and the students had a great time, and they got a really good message. I was especially intrigued, and I was happy to see they delivered a strong message on cyberbullying for the students. And the students were primarily younger individuals, college age, or they had recently graduated from college. And so they were able to really connect with our kids. So it was a really good time. The two assemblies went very well. I want to thank Ms. Brisa Romero. She attended both assemblies. I want to thank you for attending.
It was nice. It was very nice.
Yeah. The open house in Naco last Monday was also a great success. We had about 8 teachers show up, and we wanted to see more parent participation, but those that did attend was a great success. We were able to get some good face-to-face communication with our parents across the line, and that ended up being a very positive thing.
About how many parents showed up?
I want to say there was about 10 parents that showed up.
So if it's something that, like, you continue doing regularly, right, you think more parents will be coming to it?
I believe so. Okay. And so the target is to do it one in October and one in April.
Okay.
And the focus of the folks that work with the NACWA initiative is to design a grant so that when teachers do go, they get paid. It was through the generous donation of Mr. Dunn,
mm-hmm,
that our teachers were able to be paid for this one, and so that's, we learned a lot of what to do for future meetings.
Okay.
So it ended up being a really good thing. That's my report.
I was going to ask you, have you gotten the documentation from the IRS thing to the other members?
No, I haven't.
Okay. I suggest you do get them copies.
Okay.
Of that. Then kind of be
I
up
will
to
provide
date.
It tomorrow.
Okay.
Either I'll hand deliver it or ask you to come in, and I have the packet. Ms. Walker, I hadn't done anything based on our last conversation.
And what that deadline is, the 15th again? That 15th.
The
13th. Huh? The 13th. Okay. How are you going? How's that going?
And so we haven't heard anything from our attorney, so we're waiting
right
to hear.
And have you heard from that guy that was calling me?
No.
The investigator?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, but we're doing good in getting that paperwork
yeah
in. Okay. And you think we can meet that deadline?
I'm hoping, but I'm. We're kind of on
it's a lot.
Was
it 39
right
pages?
We're
or
waiting for Ms. Bain to make arrangements with that.
Oh, all right. You guys are going to go meet with them?
Yes.
Right. Okay. All righty. Thank you. So we have a tentative meeting for next Wednesday. And we don't have anything else, eh? Oh, we have a call to the public. Okay. We have two. Let's see. How about Ms. Claudia Romero? Hello. Oh, you're the one that requested a translator?
Yeah.
Let's see. Was that Lupita? Are you going to translate for her?
Sure.
Thank you. Proceed.
Yo estoy preocupada porque si se van los maestros, yo pienso que ustedes no están tan preocupados por los niños si dejan ir los maestros. Yo no quiero que se van los maestros. Y hace 3 años, no sé si recuerden, que estábamos batallando por maestros y por ayudantes de maestros. Yo no quiero que vuelva a afectar así la escuela.
So she's concerned that teachers
mood lighting.
Of teachers not coming back, and that she doesn't know if you guys, oh, she doesn't think you guys are that concerned if we come back or not, and that she doesn't remember, I mean, she doesn't know if you guys remember about 3 years ago that there were hardly any teachers and we had trouble finding them, and she doesn't want to go back to that again.
Y si pues eso está pasando, yo prefiero que renuncie ella.
And y los papás queremos que renuncie. And if that's what's happening or what's going to happen, she'd rather have you resign. And the parents want you to resign.
She'd rather have me resign?
Yes.
Okay.
That's what she said.
I'm an elected official, but thank you. All right. Thank you. Okay, next we have Maria Reese.
Oh, I'm going to withdraw mine.
What one?
I'm going to withdraw it.
Oh, okay. All righty. So we have nothing further. I'm going to, and thank you for your words, though. I appreciate it. Without anything further, I'd like to move to adjourn if I get a second.
One second.
Mr. Almost seconds. Ice.
Aye.
Hi.
At, let's see, 6:50. Thank you. This is snickering.
Can we stand adjourned?
I'm sorry?
Can we stand adjourned?
Yes.
We did?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Oh, I'm sorry, we called adjournment at 6:50.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you.
You know how to undo this thing?